Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah, last time we were on Daniel chapter 11. So this time we are going to recapitulate, like the English people say, and then we are going to go to Daniel chapter 12. In the book of Daniel, we were the chapters 7 through 12, we saw that the angel, several visions came to Daniel, chapter 7. The angel gave, was given to Daniel that described the kingdoms of the world from the time of Daniel to the end, in form of some beasts. And then Daniel chapter 8, similar vision was given to Daniel. More interpretation was given in Daniel chapter 9. While Daniel was praying, the angel was sent to him, told him about the times that were determined upon his people, which means the Israelites. That also was pointing to the time of Daniel.
From the time of Daniel.
From the time of Daniel to the Messiah comes, the Messiah comes, and then the end of the world, they will turn back to the Israelites. Jews. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel was visited by the angel. From chapter 10 through to chapter 12, the angel visited from chapter 10 and talked through to chapter 12. And in chapter 10, the angel gave some insight how that the prince of Persia delayed him, and then Michael was dispatched to clear the way. And then the angel went on and told Daniel what will happen from the time of King of Persia. And that was where we are in chapter 11. The angel actually went into detail, talking more about the wars that was taking place or that would take place in our own time. It's now already passed between the King of the North, the King of the South, which in those days was Egypt against Rome, and now the land of the Palestine, which is Israel, as the blessed land, they call it the glorious land, was caught in between. And then now, around the same time, the Messiah will come. So the angel went to detail to make us pinpoint when the Messiah will arrive, and the King of the North there will be taxing the world, and eventually it's in chapter 11, it will be a time of taxation. And we saw that in the book of Luke, when Joseph and Mary had to go and register, they actually gave pointers to the fact that there will be a taxation on the time, and that was when the Messiah was born. And then the angel went on throughout chapter 11 into the theatre, jumped to the end of the world, how the another king will arise in the land of Palestine and do some great things. We do not know much about the God of his fathers. At the end of Israel, they said there will be a war where the king of the south, which means the Arab countries, Egypt and so on, will come against him. And then the king of the north will come down against him with a wild wind. And we pointed out that is also pointed out in the end in the book of Zechariah, that God said, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle at the final, the end. So all of those things have been prophesied here and there in the book of Daniel, in the book of Zechariah. And then we also know in the book of Revelation, a lot of prophecies. Revelation gave us more detail of what will be going on in the midst of the church as compared to what is going on in the world. And there are also things about what will be going on in the world in the book of Revelation also. But now we're going to Daniel chapter 12, which is a wrap-up of the discussion of that the angel gave. It was a long discussion. I remember our brother was saying that it's amazing how so much was given to Daniel, how he was able to write everything down, he was able to remember all these things. Well, the Lord has been good in that. If you look at that of Daniel, you say, this is a piece of cake. What about that of John, Gospel of John, where he wrote 20-something books, and they were all prophecies, and they were all visitation, and the angel visited him, so we cannot even tell whether it was a single day. It does look like just a single day, and the Lord has done that one where he can actually bring you into the vision and stop as you go write it down, and you come back as you go back. I have explained that where he say, let's go back, Lord. And I say, oh, let's go. And he brought me back into the same vision where we stopped. If he did that for me just in a single few 5 minutes, how much more this week we could stop it, let them go write it down, and he bring them back again into the same vision, and they continue, and then go write it down. And the that of John, we don't know, could have taken a whole week of just going back to that vision where he stopped. No person there, and they continue to write it down. So Daniel also got similar thing that if the angel was going to talk so much like this, I don't see how his brain can remember all of this. Of course, the Lord can bring it back to him after he is gone. But it's very easy for the way of experience that the Lord can even stop it. And you write it down and bring it back to the same spot where you have just left off, and you begin to write some more and get some more. And yeah, it's amazing. You say, wait, this is God. He is in control of everything. He can do anything he wants to do. Praise God. Now in chapter 12, where the angel continued, this is where we are going right now. We are going to read through it first and then point out to some key verses and try to expatiate on those key verses, and then the angel gives some timeline, which we will try to see whether we can decipher some of those. Okay, let's read chapter 12. And at that time, this is the angel that I've been talking since chapter 10, chapter 11, and he went on in chapter 12. He said, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on the side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard a man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he that waited and cometh to 1305 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. And that was the end of chapter 12. Amazing how it was concluded. Now let's go verse by verse and see what, and analyze what the angel was describing to Daniel here, which is now for us. In verse 1, he mentioned specifically that Michael shall stand up. This is the same angel Michael that appeared in chapter 10. He said that is the great prince that stands for the children of thy people, that is for Israel. The prince for Israel, for the land of Israel, for the land of Palestine. He said, but the one he shall stand, he said there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Now, when you say a time of trouble, it could be what? Political trouble is always going on in Egypt, in Israel right now, as we know. You know, the Palestinian against the Arab, against the Jews, it's been going on skirmishes every time. But this time he said there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. So, well, since there was a nation, so you can say, well, he's actually talking about since they became a nation. That's why I'm looking at it. From 1948, they became a nation, Israel. The nation of Israel became a nation in 1948. And that's almost 50, close to 50 years now. 98, past 50 years now. And he says, since there was a nation, they have been having trouble. War here, yeah, war there, war there. But he said, this time when the Amalekites shall stand up, it will be unparalleled trouble in that land. So we could expect serious war that they have never experienced before. You know, we have been seeing all these things that they say is Iran, they try to make nuclear bombs, and they are thinking they are going to blast the whole of Israel out of that land and destroy them. But all of those things are still like a threat anyway. But when Michael shall stand, he said there will be a trouble that has never been since I was a nation, even to that same time. But he said, at that time, thy people shall be delivered. So which means he said the Jews, the Israelites shall be delivered. How? Delivered, what do you mean by delivered? He said, everyone that shall be found written in the book. So, but we're going to really, let's discuss it. What type of delivered do you think the angel was talking about? He said, thy people shall be delivered. Anybody have opinion? When he said, thy people shall be delivered at that time, will it be political deliverance or will it be...
I think written in the book might give us a clue. So I would like to start by saying written, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Written in what book? You know, so if we consider what that might mean, that might help us to give us an angle on what you might be saying about that people shall be delivered, because the ones that are going to be delivered are the ones that shall be found written in the book. That's what it says, you know, that people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. So what book is he talking about? I guess that's the, you know, I would like to approach it from that angle. If we can answer that one first, maybe it might shed some light on what kind of deliverance he's talking about. So what book is he talking about here, and what does it mean that found written in the book?
Yeah. Okay, that's a good point. Well, what you notice is, if you go to what Apostle Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 11, you remember Apostle Paul was saying, in verse 11, Romans chapter 11, you can turn to it. Apostle Paul was talking about how Israel will be saved, the whole of Israel will be saved. Say, well, what do you mean the whole of Israel will be saved? Let's read it. Verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? So God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is common to the Gentiles, but to provoke them to jealousy. Now he went for it, he said, in the verse that he said, all Israel shall be saved. He was talking about that in looking at it, I'll jump to that exact passage. So that you want us to know that this verse 25, says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant. That's Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be coming, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of them the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So when he said all Israel shall be saved, is in line with what the angel said, that people shall be delivered. Now he said, as many as are written in the book, so we can then say, written in the book means it by election. By election, just like he said, the remnant of the seed shall come back to the children of Israel. And then you also saw in Romans chapter 7, where he said, some were sealed out of the tribes of Israel, 12,000 from every tribe. That's Romans chapter 7, Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, you see where the angel said, don't start destroying or tormenting the earth, don't start hurting the earth until we have sealed the servants of our God. And the number was given. So you can say which book, the number, whatever this number was given, so it's like a By election, God has already elected those that are going to be saved among. How many people are in Israel right now? Maybe 5 million, 10 million, 20 million, who knows? Or more than that. Not to talk of the Jews that are worldwide, just those that have come back before. But look at the number that was marked in Revelation chapter 7. 12,000 from every tribe. That's 144,000 out of million. So he said, as many as are written in the book will be delivered. Now when you say delivered means what? Salvation. According to Apostle Paul, salvation is shall be saved. Doesn't mean that they will not be killed in the war or somewhere. Of course, God can also protect them from the war, but people are not saying it's going to be 144,000 alone be protected from the calamity. But he said that people shall be delivered. We can assume then, how we say, salvation is what we should first think of. How many of them will be automatically saved? He gave a number. In chapter 7, in Revelation chapter 7, he said, they were sealed to be protected from the troubles that are coming. So we can say maybe the physical deliverance is what Revelation chapter 7 is talking about for the people that were sealed before the world is being hurt. Now, Michael standing up, trouble, physical trouble, and the physical trouble in that land. Or the world, the trouble, whatever it is. But some people will be delivered according to election. Any other opinion that, or any other suggestion that? And we can go to verse 2 and see the next thing in that book is verse 2. It's very important because many, when it comes to doctrine, this is perhaps the first place that we know, not the first place, there's another place in the book of Job that talks about resurrection. When we get the idea that there will be a resurrection of the dead, of all the dead. Daniel mentioned it right here when the angel told him, chapter 11, chapter 12, he just read, he said, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So we know there will be a resurrection of the dead. And that is prophesied right there by the angel. There will be a resurrection of the dead. And there will be some to life and some to destruction. But is that the final resurrection, or is that just the resurrection of this? Because we know that in the book of Revelation there is also a mention of two types of resurrection. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then there will be another one in the end of all things. So which one do you think this one is the angel is talking to about? Who has any opinion then? Will this be the first resurrection, or will this be just everything lined together, or just generalized? Any opinion? Any opinion whether this is just the first resurrection or the second resurrection, or just resurrection generally? I see Bola, you have an opinion?
I would think the first resurrection.
You would think it's the first resurrection? Because of what? Because of the timing? He is taking because of the time, because the angels stood up and there will be war, and then it's. But we should not think that is that particular chapter 2 is in the same time frame. We can't, because everything is summarized. It does not mean that verse 2 is in the same time frame of the battle, the war that's going on in Israel.
For some reason, it looks like it's compounded.
Yes.
Because there it says the world says everlasting content. So that looks like a finality in that case. So I would say it's a combination. It's like a multiple event, but just phrased under one head.
That's a good point. What Barbara is saying is that by the angel just summarizing it there, it's not just talking about first resurrection or second resurrection. It's just talking about there will be resurrection, which is where it's now. It's going to be resurrected early, and some will be to life, some will be to content. And we can see when we go back to the book of Revelation, we see it divided out for us. There will be a first resurrection, and those who participated in that first resurrection, the second death have no power. So that is now being given us more detail. And then talk about the final resurrection, where all the dead will stand before God, before the white throne judgment. So the angels simply just give us a summary here that gave a good token that there will be resurrection. Because in the Bible, did we ever have any other place where it was ever mentioned that there will be resurrection? I know the book of Job says something like that. Any other place?
Yeah, let me read one here in Isaiah chapter 26. Starting at verse 19. And I'll read 19 through 21. Might kind of shed some light on the city. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. So I think, again, that's another reference there to resurrection.
Praise God.
And the judgment at the end.
Amen. So that's my plan. Verse 19 that we are praying is very important, because God was prophesying that he has a dead body too. That's when Jesus Christ resurrected. So, and it was an insight to make us see that he already prophesied that he will resurrect. He took his own body out of the grave, and he said that dead men shall live with me at the same time, which means he also will call some people out of the grave when he resurrected. And we know that happened in the Matthew chapter 27, I believe, where he said when Christ resurrected, some body of some saints rose up in the holy land. So that was fulfilled as another part of the first fruits of the resurrection. Of course, we also know that in the book of Job mentioned that he will see the Lord in his body.
Yes.
That means that Job knew that there will be a resurrection. He said, in my flesh will I see God. Even though this my body will be eaten up by worms, he said, but in my flesh I will see God. He knew that God will raise him up again. So all those people that have walked with God, they knew. If anybody can get the last verse of that book of Job.
There's one here in, I think it says 14:14.
Is it Job?
Yeah, Job.
And that's one of them.
That's one of them. It says Job 14:14. It says, if a man die, shall he live again?
Yeah.
All the days of my appointed time will I wait, till my change come. So it's like he knew there was a change coming to his body, though the body might be in the grave.
Praise God. And I think in another part, you actually say, in my flesh will I see God. I have the reference to that. But that's another point that Job knew about the fact that he will see the Messiah. When I'm seeing the Messiah, maybe that is when he will resurrect with the first one. I believe people like Job will have been one of them that the Lord took out of the grave when he resurrected. Because he said, we see him. You see, in the latter days, he will stand. He was even prophesied that in the latter days, the Messiah, the Lord will stand, and he said, he will see him in his flesh. Amazing how these promises came to pass. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And that was talking about resurrection, and you can imagine that some people, and I don't wonder, Apostle Paul was talking to the first Corinthians, they said, how come you say that there's no resurrection? That's why I tried to make us stop one by one and point out this. The Christian doctrine, it was right there in the Bible in so many places that there will be resurrection of the dead, one some to life and some to everlasting content. And Christ also gave that same thing in some of his Bible. Verse 3, the angel continued in the book of Daniel, again, verse 3, talking about encouraging people to be evangelistic, to witness, to turn people to righteousness. He said, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
Hallelujah.
So that's the angel more or less prophesying to us that Because the gospel will be preached and is being preached, and people that are saints will be touching lives. Those who are wise, they will shine. So they that are turning people to righteousness, mean keep on witnessing by your life and by your words. He said, you are turning people to righteousness. He said, you will be like stars forever and ever.
Amen.
But it's more than telling us what Christ already has come back to tell us, that we that are called and sent out and doing the work of the Father, he said, we are like stars. And verse 4 again, the angel went forward and said, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Mm-hmm. Now this is a prophecy, said, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. But that is a prophecy. I mean, we can actually describe I want opinions. How do you think this has been fulfilled since the time till now? Many shall run to and fro. Any opinion? Any of our sisters want to give opinion of how that is fulfilled? Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. That's
awesome. I think it's talking about the technology of flying in planes, and the knowledge that is increasing now went into all kinds of technology right now. Mm-hmm. Using
Satellite.
Satellite, yeah, satellite and all kinds of stuff.
That's
what it's talking about.
Yeah. Any other thing you can think of?
The computer, the phone.
Computer, yes. What else? Yeah. Internet, you say. Internet. Any other thing?
When even people like Pastor Peter is using
a computer,
you know that knowledge is increasing.
Well, knowledge has explosion of knowledge. Well, you have to remember when this was prophesied. Remember when this was prophesied. What were they using in those days? Horses, drive, you know, the Egyptians have horses in those days that they used to ride chariots and so on. Takes them years and years just to cross the desert over months. Now, coming from that end till now, you can see what knowledge has exploded. Running to and fro is also, people always talk about that, is the automobile. Came since the automobile, which is not just horses driving, so pulling some chariots, engines and so on, not to talk of the airplanes and then the shuttle. So knowledge has exploded,
yes,
since that time. And he said, they shall run to and fro. You can go from here to China right now, how many days? Maybe 3 days. Think of in the days of Daniel, how long it will take us to get to China. Even through the ship, months just to cross the Atlantic and go around the side of Africa and go all the way Indian Ocean. Months. So running to and fro, it has been prophesied. The angel knew what he was talking about. Indeed, he said, nobody knows more than him. In verse 10, so he already told us that these things will take place.
Yes.
And then we go for the computer, like our sister said. Verse 6. Daniel in verse 5 said he saw two other people, which means he didn't notice them before. After the angel was about to wrap up, two other angels just showed up. That we are talking, that we are going to talk about 6. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Now they wanted to give us some timing now. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. When he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. What do you think was the reason for lifting up his hand to him to swear? Any opinion? Why do you think he lifted up his hand to him to swear?
Because he's God.
No, the angel has spoken, doesn't have to be God. He is swearing, which means he is so certain of this. That's the only thing I can say about him. Before he can swear by God, that's why he is swearing by God. He says he is swearing by him that living for the man that it shall be. So he is certain of this. That's what the angel is saying. That is, there's no, maybe you can be wrong, maybe, no, he is certain of this, swearing by heaven, by God, that this is what is going to happen. And That reminded me of a visitation where an angel did the same thing in the vision to me, and he gave a prophecy. And he just lifted his two hands and swore to me and said, really? And then I came back and looked at this and said, any angel that could swear by heaven and lift their hands, they are saying they are certain. This is sure, this is good. Like in the book of Revelation, that angel told John, he said that this is the true sayings of God. So for him to say this is the true sayings of God, he is so certain that God said this. Not like I think. So for this angel to lift up his hand and swear by heaven, by he that liveth forever, he's saying he's certain. This is how it will be. But now he gave us some time, which we have to now forget. What is a time? Times and a half.
Can I ask a question before we
go ahead with that? Yeah. Who are these personages that we see? It looks like there are three people or three personages,
yeah,
who are appearing to Daniel. One on the other side of the river, mm, and one looks like on top of the water, mm, in white. Who are they?
Now let's look at it. He didn't tell us who they were, but he gave one particular one. He said he was clothed in linen. The one that was on the waters, in verse 7, and I had the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his hand, right hand. So, clothed in linen should tell us something, that he's a saint. Because if we go to the book of Revelation, it says the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. You have to remember that. Now, the angel that was talking to him, he never mentioned that the angel was clothed in linen. So it looked like something, so these people just appeared. These three just appeared. The angel perhaps has, you know, because he, when he mentioned the angel, he described Michael, lightning figure. Then he spoke, the Mike Gabriel that was about talking to him was talking. They never described Gabriel, he just keeps talking. But at this point, he said, let's look at it again. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two. The one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. So, which means the third one, perhaps, is the one that I've been talking to him all along. Now he said, and one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And then I had a man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. He held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven and swear. And said, shall be this. So we can say, well, if the one that was on the waters is the one that has been talking to him all along, then most likely it was the angel that was, you think was Gabriel or something. They say it was clothed in linen. So we have to go say, could it be the fine linen that was the righteousness of the saints? Because this is every chapter in the book of Revelation, that is a typical dressing for the saints, the fine linen, the righteousness of the saints. But he didn't describe these two, that just he just other two. But they all look like human beings to him as far as he's concerned. That's why he didn't say they have wings, just like two men. You remember in chapter 10 or 9 where he said he fainted or he did, and another one that looked like the Son of Man touched him. They are all looking like the Son of Man as far as he was concerned. They were all looking like the Son of Man. He said, one touched him and said, peace be unto you, be strong. He said, he just looked like the Son of Man. So we have to always remember that they all come in the form of like us, even though they were angels, they came to die like us in form of sons of men. But now he pointed to this one that he was wearing for a linen. And the angel that came for that he mentioned, lightning figure Michael, he described that one. He didn't say that he looked like a son, he just said like a man anyway. So they were all in the image of God, in this our image, in the form of man. But do you think the one on the white, on the one that has white linen, you want to start saying maybe this God?
Only God can swear by the heavens, because he cannot.
Well, God will swear by himself.
By himself.
So, but this one is swearing by, let's see what he says. He held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever. So, he's swearing by another person. Well, he didn't say himself, he said by him that liveth forever and ever. I'm assuming that he's swearing by he that liveth forever and ever. So, I'm assuming he is not he that liveth forever and ever. That's how I see that. I was always pointing. Another opinion, you think he is.
it looks to me as that personage,
he seems to have more knowledge because they were asking him.
Yeah, of course.
And the other two.
Yeah.
And we also see in the book of Revelation where we hear of his swearing, Jesus himself, I think it was Revelation.
In chapter 10.
Revelation chapter 10.
Yeah.
He swore by him that living forever there shall be.
Okay.
So there's no, it really doesn't matter who it is or who it's not, but the fact that these angelic beings knew what they were talking about, period. I mean, I just brought this as a discussion to see if we can decipher whether it's the Lord, because we see also the Lord among angels.
And among the saints too.
And among the saints. So he appears and disappears. Can we put him in a box and say, okay, this is how it's going to appear? No. You know what I mean? The one time, Elijah was saying, they killed off thy prophet and all this and that. Jesus said, no. I have 7,000 people that have preserved themselves. I'm not. So he could. And also, there was another time the Lord was talking to the disciples. They were telling him, we saw some other guys there preaching your name and this and that and that. Say, hey, let them be. If they are not against me, they are coming. Is it possible why Jesus was dealing with 12 disciples here that we are reading about them? He was appearing to another 12 and teaching them the same thing that was unknown to anybody, that was not recorded. We don't know. So we cannot box or say, make it big doctrine. Out of all this, God is God and he will appear and disappear when, how he wishes to.
Yeah, that's a good point. My sister, have a question.
I think you should come up with something. You ladies should come up with that point here. So that's.
Also, as we're talking, my mind went to when three angels, Abraham said, appeared to him. Two were angels and one you call the Lord.
Yeah. That's true.
So the little book, the book that Daniel was referring to here, also in Exodus, Moses, Exodus chapter 32, verse 32.
Is there any little book in this chapter?
Are you talking of? I don't see any little book.
Are you talking of the little book in the book of Revelation or the book in chapter verse 1? Written in the book?
Let me read it. Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of that book which thou hast written.
The book, not the little book. Yeah. Okay, so those are all good points. Because we see the Lord, that angel can be the Lord himself, my pre-existent, because the Lord has appeared and finally he's also a saint, because he came as a human being, and also he's the Lord. And then, like I said, in the book of Revelation, he also swear by he that lived on the earth, and he looked like he was just an angel, and stepped 1 foot on the water and 1 foot on the land. Okay, now let's continue, because we're not trying to make dogma in any of this. We just put it out there for us to think about this. In verse 7, he gave us tried to give us that, because the question was, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? How long shall it be? Now, what was that question he's asking? We have to understand the question. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? So, what do we think the question really was? Because after I begin to meditate on that question itself, it's not saying from a particular time to a particular time. It's saying, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? So I begin to say, wait a minute. If he's talking of from the time this prophecy, this angel was giving all these things to Daniel, to the end of these wonders, if that's what he's really asking for, because that statement really looks more like that rather than say, how long shall it be from Antichrist and life? Because people have always, over the years, we've had many ministers believing that they are talking about the 38th week of Daniel, the last 3 years or 12 years. But see, the question is, how long shall it be till the end of this one? It's almost like saying from the time he is talking till the end is what I think is really asking. Unless anybody think it's not so, then you can say, well, what would that mean then? A time times and a half. This is how I begin. After I begin to re-question that question myself, I look at it and say, what can a time times and a half really symbolize? If I say, from the time the angel was asking this question, from the time that they are giving this prophecy till the end of time, the end of these wonders, that will be like what? Thousands of years since Daniel till the end. Now look at a time. Think of a time and say, well, suppose a time means 1,000. Times means 2,000. And a half, that will be like 3.5. 3,500 years. And well, let's calculate what we have right now since Daniel. You can say it's getting close to what? 3,000. Because Daniel was about 500 years before Christ, so to speak. And Christ had been 2,000 years gone. Okay. So you can say, well, gee, that looks like we still have a longer time to come. But see, that's a way of looking at those time and times. Other people have looked at it and say, well, maybe from the we're going to go back to the earlier, the next few things he was talking about in verse 11 and 12, which is he stopped using time, he started using days. So that will mean something else. But this is just my pondering about it and say, what do you think this angel is asking about? Say, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? But we don't know what a time times and a half really symbolizes. So I'm just saying, if we say time times and a half, and we say that if you use a time to mean 1,000, well, you're going to be saying almost 3,500. So put that on the side and let's continue. We begin to wonder about this. And then he went further, he said,
what end of which wonders?
Yes,
these wonders.
Wonders? Well, to me, that's a good question. What wonders? I'm thinking everything you have been talking about to the end of all these things is why I think it's talking these wonders. Because everything is saying the world, the Antichrist, the end of the world, the people. That's why I think it's saying all these wonders. To me, that's why I think it's talking about. And we can see when Daniel asked his own question. You see, Daniel asks his own question in verse 8. Oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Why? Because Daniel has been hearing things for the past most days or hours, and two chapters have been written, and they're just things, and he's bombarded with his head exploding. Say, well, what will be the end? Tell me the final analysis. What is the finality of this? And the angel said, go that way. You may not understand this. Just write it down for them. So, but see, he is taken to the end of these things. I'm thinking the angel that said, how long shall be to the end of this wonder? I'm thinking that wonder is just like everything you're talking about here. All these prophecies that reign till the end of the world, this Antichrist, what do we see? Antichrist in this chapter 11 also. We see the war that will come in this chapter and then the resurrection. I don't know. So they are all wonders as far as I'm concerned. Any other opinion, what do you think would be the wonders?
I mean, right from, we're saying
all these things revealed to Daniel right from Daniel chapter 1. Is that one? Because it's a wonder.
It's Daniel chapter. So prophecies, all the prophecies from Daniel chapter
2. That would include that,
chapter 2, yeah.
Well, that would include it.
Yeah.
It's all, quite, I mean, the beast, the lion, and
yeah.
Beast and lion.
Those are true. Those are all symbolizing everything.
So if we go, I would think that would include all that, not
yes.
Just the end.
That's true too. That is true. So if we put all of those, we have to start from Babylon.
Yeah.
From Nebuchadnezzar. So you can say if you have the Nebuchadnezzar time, not just from the time he was telling this, we know that that's not long really. That's 70 years. Because Daniel was almost 70 and Nebuchadnezzar was there that took them away for 70 years. So that 70 years to whatever times is still not that different. But it covers all these wonders. So that's a good point. But see, you know, we cannot put a dogma on this time and times. You can only just say, consider it this way, consider it that way. And if we go to the next section where he talk about 1,000 days, 1,290 days, he gave another starting time for that one in verse 11. We'll get to verse 11 in a moment. But in verse 8, he said, I understood it not. And then he said, I asked and said, oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?
And then the angel told him, "Excuse me, go thy way, Daniel, for the walls are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." The only means that they won't understand it. No, I don't see how Daniel could understand it, because they will be thinking of what is yet to happen. The time of the end, which is our time, and we believe now we are at the time of the end, we can look at the history of the world and see some of those things have been fulfilled that make us to understand major part of this. But those that have not been fulfilled is still to us to be pondering about us. But the ones that have been fulfilled, we can say, yeah, we know the history of Rome, the Roman Empire, the Egyptian Empire. Christ came and was crucified, and that fits into all these prophecies. So that's how we can understand from this vantage point looking back. But there are some that are prophesied that are yet to happen, as we be at the end of the world, like Antichrist and so on. So we also could pinpoint that here, that we just have a general idea of what will be happening and looking at the economy and the world events. But the angel said, seal it up until the time of the end. Then he went further in verse 10 and told us some more things. The many shall be purified and made white and tried. Now that verse 10, we mentioned, we talk about it in Daniel chapter 11 also. They just mentioned that there will be persecution. The saints came in since that time, and the saints were being tried, being persecuted, and they stood their ground in the first churches and confessed Christ. That was a trial, and they were being purified. And at the end of the time also, which is going on right now, the Lord is purifying the saints to bring us to the fullness of the stature of Christ. There are a lot of trial times. And you remember the prophecy that we call Charles Price prophecy, said that there shall be some trial that will be absolute necessity for this elect. And that is also going on. That is part of purifying the saints, bringing them to the fullness of the stature of Christ, so that they have been made white and tried. So that has been prophesied by this angel in verse 10. So no wonder Apostle Paul said, don't count it, count it not strange. Whatever is the trial that you go through is to make you become pure. Say, but the wicked shall be wickedly. That is, the world will go into wickedness, and like we can see, the world is going into wickedness, and look at what is going on right now in the world. Homosexuality, they're legalizing it. Almost every country. See, you wonder that the world is becoming more wickedly. Something that 50 years ago it was abomination. 100 years ago it was abomination. Now, they're same-sex marriage. They are legalizing it in this country, in almost every white country. They're legalizing it. And even in some other countries, even in Israel, you are talking about it. In Israel, you know, for that matter. Like I was saying the other time, I read in the news in Nigeria that the turning time. I said, thank God that some people are still thinking. In Nigeria, they said it was in the legislature turning down that they ban same-sex marriage in Nigeria. I said, thank God that some people are still listening in Nigeria. Something good is still there. It's not all corrupted. And that's what is wicked shall come to do wickedly. But he said, none of the wicked shall understand these things, because this thing will be going on. God is preparing his people in the background also, because the Bible said the saints are being tried and purified and made white. God is preparing his people. We that know about these things, and we that know that the Lord is actually in his own kingdom, we are the people that are the wise. And we are to keep our garment white, like Christ said, because we have to keep our garment white to be acceptable in the Lord. And he said, the wise shall understand, that if we understand this thing, God will teach one another. Yeah. That's why it's very important for us to keep on learning. What does this knowing about the prophets, what does it do to us? How can we take advantage of it? Let's talk about that. Because he said the wise will understand. We understand this thing, how should we be like? What should it do to us if we understand these things about the end time, about the kingdom of God, and what should it do to us? It should make us to be looking up unto Jesus. It should make us to want to stand our ground and make sure that we don't get polluted by the pollution of the world. Why? Because we know what is coming to happen. The kingdom of this world is going away. Even the best of them, the best of the best, the kingdom of this world is going away. And God is setting up another kingdom physically on this planet, Christ shall come and reign. So if we belong to that kingdom, we should know that our kingdom is not of this world, like Christ said. So we should live as pilgrims. So that's knowing these things and believing these things and understanding these things should keep us on our toes to be looking for this. That we that are looking for the blessed hope, we have to keep on looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is one thing we must remind ourselves of, that it's not just a knowledge, not just learning stories, but to keep us on our guard. And the Lord has said these things and showed to us. We understand this thing, we have to be wise to make good use of it. And part of what we use it for is to keep ourselves pure. Keep your garment, lest you walk naked and you see your shame. So Christ said in another place.
That's right.
And verse 11 went for us, and then it goes to give us another timeline. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that make it desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. Now, what is the daily sacrifice? Anybody want to give another opinion on that? The daily sacrifice, I thought we mentioned some of those in Daniel chapter 11.
I think he talked about it in Daniel 11.
Yeah.
And, may have talked about it earlier also. Let me see Daniel chapter 8. What did he say there?
In chapter 9, really.
Daniel chapter 8, verse 11. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. So this is a direct reference to the same phrase.
Yeah.
The daily sacrifice was taken away. So here he's saying, from the time that daily sacrifice is taken away, so which, you know, here is one reference to daily sacrifice, and here is the place where he says he magnified himself to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. I mean, and we analyzed this when we were talking in chapter 8. I mean, yeah. Anybody remember what we talked about when we talked about this in chapter 8, this particular verse?
Any opinion?
Because it's also, if you also read verse 12 of Daniel 8, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and he cast down the truth to the ground, and he practiced and prospered. So I think we talked about that when we were dealing in chapter 8.
So then what do we think the daily sacrifice is? We know what daily sacrifice is. What, when is that is cast down, what do you think? Was it when Jerusalem was destroyed? 70 AD? Is that the time that we should begin to come from? Or was it, as many believe, that there may be another temple later in the time of the end, people believe there will be another temple built, and they thought that the Antichrist will reinstate their sacrifice, and then in the middle of it, he will stop it again, and they will find it in that chapter 9, in that case. So the question is, the daily sacrifice and the place cast down, and abomination said, but he said the point is said that make it desolate. You have to think about that. It's a population that make it desolate. What does that really mean? Because the Lord Jesus Christ referred to it that when you shall see the abomination that make it desolate, as prophesied by Daniel, you that are in the Jerusalem, flee to the mountain. So then, if we believe that prophecy that the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, I would say that this casting down of the temple in A70 then is what we should be thinking of as this abomination or the day sacrifice being stopped. And it, of course, that stopped since A70 has not been reinstated till now, which is almost 1,900 years. Because they have not rebuilt the temple. Since they go back, they go, and then what was the reason why they couldn't rebuild the temple? There was an idolatry something put in, which almost we can say that must be what the angel is saying. That's how I see it. Many people may have a different opinion. That mosque of Oman that they put right there, the Muslim put right there on the mount, what do you call it, on the Temple Mount, is an abomination, because they were worshiping the sun, the face, the maker. Okay. So when the Lord said, when you shall see the abomination that maketh desolate, standing where it ought not, then no. Then according to history, of course, we have to remember, before the Jews revolted against Rome, something was going on. The Roman Empire wanted to put the placard of Caesar on the temple, and it became violent. That's one of the reasons why the Jews revolted, because we know that the Jewish law doesn't allow them to make images. But the Caesar was so powerful that they think, well, he has his image on the money. They want to put his face on every beautiful building, and the Jews rebel against it. And that was the beginning of it, because it sounds like we don't respect our emperor, and our emperor is the one ruling the world. So that was where you can say that must be our abomination that he says make it desolate, because that was the beginning of the war. And the Romans came and destroyed and scattered them, make them the whole place desolate for thousands of years. But it was because God has said it to be so, not because the Roman Empire can do this. God said this is the days of vengeance, they killed the Messiah. You have to remember that. But that is how I see this daily sacrifice that stopped, because an abomination was set up. But that was the reason why they started the war. But after that, many years later, this mosque of Roma was placed there, which is why they couldn't rebuild it since 1948. Because of political struggle, if they demolish that place, they will be more violent. So they are taking their politics. And so for them to be able to build, and people also believe that maybe when the Antichrist are coming, we will make some arrangement for them to build a temple there, and side by side or something like that, which is still like, maybe this is how it should be. And that was people that believe that there will be another temple and another starting of a daily sacrifice in the last 7 years. And they are assuming that this time and times and a half is like 3.5 years. So there are many ways people are looking at this. There are many ways. I personally want to force my idea that this is it. I only say, let's have our eyes open and make sure that you are looking at all of these other things, all of these numbers, all of these times, all of these dates. And the counting of numbers, we cannot figure out what is 1,290 days that the angel was talking about. Because if you count from AD 70, and you say days, it's like one day is a year in the book of Daniel chapter 9. As we have gone through that for 70 weeks, we assume that one day is like a year. That's what I mean, 1,000. In verse 11, there where you say 1,290 days will have been 1,290 years. But what happened after that? So we cannot see anything happening between 1,290 years since they destroyed the temple. So we don't know what this number is describing. Then we went forward in verse 12, he said, blessed is he that waited and cometh to the 1,305 days, which is just another 45 days more than the first one he described. So there have been many opinions about this. Some people assume that there are 45 days will be for cleaning of the earth during the war of Antichrist war, when there will be destruction of the world, and 45 days for cleaning and so. But then you have to count the days and say which particular day your abomination making desolate or stopping of the sacrifice, where do we start counting these 19 or the 1,290 days? We can't figure it out. If so, to say add 45 days to that and say maybe that will be what it's talking about. But if you count it in just ordinary days, you have to know when to start counting. If we count it as years, we have to know when to start counting. So that's why it is just wise for us not to try to put dates to the Lord's coming, but to just keep our eyes open. Amen. Let's just keep our eyes open, watching the Lord, watching the news, watching the events. That's how I normally like us to live like that. Because these numbers, they never really tied together, because we couldn't figure out when to start the counting. Even if we say it's in days, we don't know when to start the counting. If we say it's in years, it looks closely to me, to my mind, it looks like here, but where do I start counting? The same way, like I say, time, times and a half. Even if I say that a time is 1,000, 3,000 and a half, it's still, we don't know when to start counting.
it's close to that now. We are almost 3,000 years away since this prophecy was given. So that's why I'm going, maybe, but we don't know when to start counting. So any other opinion on this?
Okay. Well, I just wanted to comment on something in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 7. You know, the part where he said, he held up his hand, right hand and his left hand unto heaven and swear by him that liveth, that shall be for a time and times and half a time and time, which is what Pastor Jesus was just talking about. That's what he was talking about. But the part I want to comment about is this. And this may be the reason why Daniel did not understand. It says, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Well, I mean, put yourself in the place of Daniel, because I was trying to visualize this vision as he was saying it. And it's like, he's talking about all these things, everything is flowing smoothly. All of a sudden, he jumps to something that's totally disconnected. Like, and when he shall have accomplished, who shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people? What's he talking about here? We don't see anything like that. I mean, we know he's spoken about that in earlier chapters, but we don't see anything like that here. You know, so, and then immediately he said, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And then in my mind I'm thinking, well, no wonder Daniel said, well, I heard and I didn't understand. He probably understood some of the other things, because the angel said, I've come to give you understanding. But this part here that he just jumped suddenly to something that has a complete disconnect, and says, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. I think that's the one that actually made Daniel to ask that question. See, because he said, I heard and I did not understand. And I said, okay, what shall be the end of this thing? You know, tell me, when you say all these things shall be finished, what am I looking for to know that it is finished? You know, so the reason I point that out is that there may be a significance to this, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. It may hold, it may be a triggering event. You know, so then let's just keep that in mind. As Pastor Jesus has said, you know, repeatedly, when do you start counting? And remember what we said when we began this end time series, that there are different kinds of prophecies. There are prophecies that are time-based, and there are some prophecies that are event-triggered. And then there are some that are a combination. You know, sometimes a prophecy may be triggered by an event, and he doesn't tell us what that, when that trigger will happen. But when we see that trigger happening, then he tells us from that time to that time. You know, so the question now is, when do we start counting all these things? Well, we don't really know. But keep in mind also that we also pointed out at the beginning of this prophetic series that there are many prophecies in the Bible that are dual prophecies. They have dual meanings or dual this and that. And we gave a lot of examples. And I've seen throughout this book of Revelation, I mean, Daniel, I'm sorry, that there have been many references to things which have, some things which we look back now and see have happened, and which could possibly happen again in the future. You know, like some of this destruction of Jerusalem, when you see the armies, you know, gather around Jerusalem and so forth. You know, those of you who are in the mountains, let them flee. We saw that that happened by history. Those of us who read history now, we see that that happened in AD 70 and so forth. But we see that it can happen again, because I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. You know, and then we also see that Jerusalem is like a hot spot, you know, for, I mean, the three largest religions in the world, if you want to count Christianity as a religion. You know, there's Christianity, there's Judaism, and then there's Islam. Everybody claims Jerusalem as, every one of these quote-unquote religions claim Jerusalem as their capital. You know, so what I'm trying to bring out is that, more in line to what Pastor Jesus said, some of these prophecies have dual meanings. So let us not just look in one way. You know, let us just keep our minds open. The key thing to remember is that, you know, well, we are the ones upon whom the ends of the world have come. You know, and if we believe that we are at the end of the world, then we need to quicken our pace, you know, because the Lord is coming soon. We may not understand all these things. You know, even Daniel himself had all these visitations. He didn't understand everything, but there is one thing that the angel told him here, you know, or he was told here, is that, look, the words are sealed till the time of the end. That's what he was told in the Daniel chapter 12, verse 9. So at the time of the end, something should happen. These words that are sealed should either become unsealed, or something should happen that to make people to understand better. Because, you know, he said, look, Daniel said, I don't understand it. And I said, don't worry about it. You know, just write it and leave it until the end. But something must happen at the end because of that statement. You know, so we are at the end, and the benefit of looking back now helps us to see some of the things. And if we go to, by the time we study the book of Revelation, we can see some other things too. So we have a good understanding now of all of the things that God is doing, and it's a good place for us to be. He's expecting the coming of the Lord, and I believe that the Deuteronomy 29:29, we spoke about this also when we started. Anybody remember what it said? Right. The secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong unto us, the sons of men. So, if the Lord keeps his secret, that's his business. But if he reveals it, then we need to know the things that he has revealed, because my people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, we shouldn't, you know, some people hide on that thing, whatever, that, oh, well, these things are hidden. You know, well, maybe it is hidden, but remember also Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to hide a thing, but it's the, now it's honor of God, I don't know how it says it, but
you're right, glory of God.
Glory of God to hide a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. You know, if we are kings and priests, we should search these things out. The three, well, the Bible doesn't say three, but the wise men that came from the east, they searched these things out. They saw the signs, they searched the prophecies, and they figured it out that, look, something is happening based on all of these things. You know, and they came all that way to find the baby. You know, so there are some things that we may not understand, but there is a lot that we do understand. So let us take advantage of all of the things that we understand, and let us keep searching and looking for the things that God has already revealed, which we may not understand, but which we need to understand to give us preparedness, you know, for things that are coming. And more, last but not the least, there are some important aspects of prophecy. It's not just for knowledge to pop off our head. Sometimes it's for getting us ready. For instance, the prophecy in the days of Joseph and so forth, that the world would have 7 years of, I mean, Egypt at that time had 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine and so forth. The knowledge that was given, and then the word of knowledge that was given to what to do with it, prepared Joseph to save almost not only the world, but his generation of the children of his father Israel at that time. You know, so if we have critical knowledge of some things, you know, it might help us. You know, for instance, some of us had prophetic understanding of some of these economic crises that will be coming at this time, and we have been warned over and over again to stay away from debt. You know, those that listened, maybe they are not in as bad a crunch now as those that didn't listen. So these things that we are learning, we should take heed to these things. But the Bible says, you know, we have a more sure word of prophecy, to the which you do well to take heed. I can't remember how it said it, or something like that, right? So we should do well to take heed to the word of prophecy, especially the things that are revealed.
I think by the time we get into the book of Revelations, a lot of this, it's almost impossible for us to go through the book of Daniel without getting the book of Revelation. But as we proceed, the aspect which I wanted to highlight had to do with the temple, whether it's the temple that was destroyed in AD 70 or is there. A lot of these prophecies that we are learning, it's compound. We can't hold on to it's the one that took place AD 70, therefore they are not in our temple. Because we see in the book of Revelation chapter 1, hear what Jesus said here. Then I'll go to the next verse on to it. He said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, that's to John, to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass, futuristic. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, John definitely was not alive during the days of Daniel. So, in Revelation chapter 11, we see this topic again about a temple coming up. So, which tells us that, hey, the temple we're talking about in Daniel chapter 11, Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. We could see another temple in Daniel chapter, another temple in Revelation chapter 11. See, verse 1, see, there was giving me a reed like unto a rod. The angels too, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. Say, but the court which is without, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot for 42 months. So we see somehow and that temple coming out futuristic even to John's day. So I'm just trying to say that all these compound prophecies, yes. I don't think they are, the overall plan is for us to just, hey, whatever God reveals to us, we know that which we don't know, let it be, and not make any big idea or big doctrines of it, just be for Christ the best we can, what we have today.
Amen.
Praise God. Going back to Daniel chapter 12, I'm glad that Brother Yato pointed that one out. I went to talk a little bit more on that in verse 7, where he said, when it shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. When we look back at Daniel chapter 8, that was also mentioned that this last kingdom of the world, which was represented in chapter 8 as the strange beast, in verse 24, then he said, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, he shall destroy wonderfully, and he shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. So that's also another place where he's talking about just wiping out the holy people. So the angel was in chapter 12 saying, when you will have accomplished to have scattered the power of the holy people, all these things will have been finished. And that perhaps could make us to see why Daniel was saying, he couldn't understand how this vision was ending. It looked like there was a place where this last beast was just prospering until the ancient of this game. It looked like there was no victory for this season. God just came down and just stopped it and gave the victory back to the saints. That was how it was reported in Daniel chapter 8 and also in, I think, chapter 7, when they talk about the ancient of this city. Look at that devil, that final kingdom, not devil, the final kingdom of the world was just destroying all the people, and look like they have no competition at all against him. And that is what the angel was saying in chapter 12, that when you will have come to scatter the power of the holy people, maybe you can look at it and say, oh, well, America, they are still trying to do this, and the Christians are saying the GOP, they believe the Republican is for the family values, and the other party is not for family values. But there will be a time when it will be very important for the righteous to dwell on this planet. That is when he says you have scattered the power of the wicked. And that is what I want to point out to us, that there is coming a serious persecution. It has been prophesied in many forms, and this is what the angel is really alluding to. Scattering the power of the holy people, there will come in a serious persecution. And you can see also in the book of Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, where he said about this Antichrist, that power was given unto him to wage war against the saints. Not just wage war, and to overcome them. So that is what the angel was alluding to when he said, he will have scattered the power of the holy people. That's when everything will be over. So Daniel was reporting it clearly in verse 7 of that Revelation chapter 13. And it was given unto him to make war with his saints and to overcome them. So what kind of war is that? It's persecution. It's coming. It has happened in the days of the first church. It looked like they just arrested the Christians and throwing them into lions in Rome. But it looked like this one is still for the few for the end time. So we have to know that we'll be ready to base ourselves and say, whatever comes, I'm standing with Jesus, I'm standing for Jesus forever. Because that is our calling. We need to stand to the end. So we have to remember that. And then the ancient of this will be the one to come and put our head to all these atrocities in the world, like Daniel has prophesied. Amen. And then the last part of it is Daniel saying, thou shalt, I told Daniel that thou shalt rest and come to your own lot in that chapter 12. Now we see why number chapter verse 11 there, when you talk about 1,200, like we say, this number, and so we group put them together, we just leave it there and meditate on it yourself. Verse 13 is the last verse. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. He just told Daniel that, well, Daniel, by this time Daniel was already past 70 years old. Remember, he came when he was a teenager, when they were taken out of Babel, Israel, and then Bible said 70 years was given for them to be in Babylon. And he saw, and Bible said he was still there when Cyrus declared that he should go back. So you can say Daniel was already past 70-something years old. In fact, when they were listening, I think in Ezra, they listed the names of the people that came back. I'm not sure whether they mentioned Daniel. I think I saw Daniel. There will be Mordecai. So some of these people that were young when they left Israel, they lived through 70 years, and Daniel was already praying for revival, for God to restore them, and the angel showed all these things. But in the end, the angel was saying, you will rest. Me, he was going to be laid to rest. But he will stand in this lot. That's what I'm talking about, was resurrection. That in the end, Daniel, you will stand in your lot at the end of the days. So we have to know that these things that have been prophesied, these things are certain that it will take place. To make us to know that our God, who we are serving, he holds this world in his hand. And our life is in his hand. We should just rest in him and trust that whatever is happening, we are for him. Because after everything is over, there will be a new kingdom on this planet. And that is our hope. And we know that it's surely coming to pass. And if there's no any other question, we're going to wrap it up right here. Any question?
Let me just make it quick. We're talking about persecution and stuff like that. Just for us to consider this high calling, what price people have paid for what we have now, so that we don't take it lightly. I was reading some of the catacombs and all that stuff way back. And I read a couple of stories that stick to my mind every time this subject of persecution of Christians and price they pay. Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. I remember a story of a young lady who the Romans and all those, you know, they just bastardized people and stuff like that. They were, these Roman people are ready to rape this young lady who was a believer. She said she gave her a maid that she needs to go use the restroom. They said, okay, you want to rape me? No problem, just give me a minute. This lady went to the restroom, broke the glass of the window, and ripped her body apart. I was bleeding. By the time they came in, of course, she was virtually dead. This is the price people pay.
allow them to rape me. And because God gives the grace on each, for each generation or each dispensation, the fortitude. Stephen went to something similar. He said, Father, forgive them. There was one case I read that this young lady, or no, the man's family, said, just, they took his kids. Said, just, we're going to leave you just for safety to Christ. Or we throw your kid in this pile of pit full of deadly snakes. I'm seeing this generation. As much as I love my kids, what would I do? What would you do? They're going to throw you a kid. But it's the Lord. It just went through my head. I would take up a thing that I talk about and say, wow. Wow. Let's hold this faith we have very dearly. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Especially when we remember the Bible said, the suffering of this present time is not what compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That is what Apostle Paul put it. So that is where we should keep our eyes on that glory that is going to be revealed, so that we can be ready to bear whatever come our way in this time. That is exactly how the only way we can look at it. Only God gives the grace of us in their face with it. And that grace we are going to pray for it before it comes. Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord who has called us is able to keep us,
yes,
to save us, to be on top of us.
Hallelujah.
We have to trust Him for that.
Yes.
And then make up our mind, we are going to stand and trust that He is able to save us and give us the grace in the days that anything can confront us. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let's just lift up our hands and praise Him. Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you. Father, we worship you.
Ah,
our times are in your hand.
Kingdom.
You have seen it, the end of the beginning.
Hey.
And you prophesied in the book of Revelation that they overcame the,
yes,
the saints overcame the land by the blood of the Lamb of God.
Hallelujah.
And by the word of their testimony,
yes,
we shall testify of your grace and your goodness to the end. And we shall not love our love to the end of death, because you have overcome death. And you have conquered death and hell. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. Exalt thee, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. The bride, the spirit and the bride say, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Let him by here say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, and take over this planet. This kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Father God and of His Christ. We shall reign forever. Blessed be the glory of the Lord our God forever. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Shall we share the grace?
One quick announcement before we say the grace.
Okay.
For those of you who are not here on Sunday, some of our Sunday announcements that you may have missed. End of year, New Year's Eve is coming.